So with that, does anybody have a question for Ryan right now?
Yeah, Ryan, how do you play golf?
Jesus.
Welcome to a bonus episode of B2B Synergy, where we highlight PPUSA Golf. PPUSA Golf is our Power Partners USA division that brings together golfers,
mostly beginners,
who want to learn and improve their golf game, all while doing business on the golf course. I'm Alan Armijo.
And I'm Deborah Armijo.
And together we are
The Golf Couple.
We'll take listeners on a podcast golf journey. We'll have invited guests along with professional golf instructor and Power Partner USA member Ryan Cooley to answer
anything about golf or learning golf.
Learn, network, and have fun with us on the golf course.
Now let's hear Ryan's answer about how do you play golf?
Yeah, it's just like there's such infant stages in the beginning. And I know that Deborah have been through that. And I don't know who's been playing longer, but I know Deborah's coming out the other side where she's not such an infant anymore. And she's starting to realize like, oh, I can play this game. I'm playing pretty good. And that was a little while ago, but now she's being able to like make these moves and, you know, I'm saying like, okay, hips first, then arms, she can do all this. And she's more coachable, but it takes a second to get over those infant stages. Yeah.
So I'm not coachable anymore.
No, once you get past the infant stages, you're very coachable and it just becomes much easier. It's such a foreign game with that stick in your hand and trying to figure it out. And yeah, it can be tough in the beginning.
Jeff, why don't you tell us a little about yourself, what you do?
I am the commercial real estate broker. My firm is Centric Partners. I have a team. There's about 9 of us that cover Southern California. And we do a lot of stuff as it relates to commercial real estate, but the core of the business is on the brokerage. So working with businesses, primarily tenants, but also investors, helping them to lease and or purchase commercial property, office, industrial warehouse, some retail, some multi-unit residential for investor type clients.
Why are you learning golf? Why are you getting into it?
There's a couple of reasons. I mean, I've been doing commercial real estate for 20 years. So I figured, hey, might be a good idea to learn golf. I have a lot of friends that play golf. And honestly, Alan, the golf lessons and networking that you put on in the last year just sounded really intriguing. And being out there with you guys and with Ryan as the coach just got me super interested. And I think I might be addicted now.
Great. Jill, did you have a question for Ryan?
Actually, I did. When you're on the range and you're transitioning from irons to hybrids to, you know, et cetera, how do you steady yourself or I'm having a hard time just transitioning. So I get used to, you know, you hit a bucket of balls, I get used to using an iron, and then I transition to a hybrid, and it's just funky making that transition from irons to hybrid, et cetera. Like, what should I be telling myself, or what's the key that to be able to transition comfortably?
I would say hitting a 9-iron or an 8-iron is so much easier than hitting a hybrid or a driver. It's going to expose you a lot more when you're hitting the longer clubs, less lofted, really. So I think what it comes down to is trying to stick with that 9 or 8 iron and kind of master it. I mean, it's never going to happen, but it's trying to get it down better. And so the transition, because this transition should go smooth if you do have those shorter clubs down. So it's get comfortable with those shorter irons and try to master those. And then when you go to a hybrid or a driver, it should translate a lot better.
Okay.
Just getting it more solid.
I should spend my time focusing on iron and then having it like second nature, so to speak.
Yeah. And that's usually what I tell my beginners is start with a 9 or the 8 and hit it a lot and just get used to swinging and get familiar with it. So it's instead of going up and down the bag and doing all that, but yeah, try to master that one shorter club and get it to where you're just, you own that club. And then when you transfer over to another club, it should go a lot smoother.
Ryan, I take it that when you're teaching us, it seems like all of the it doesn't matter what club you have in your hand, the swing is itself is the same. It's just, it has a different club. Is that true? Knowing that the longer club is harder to hit.
Yeah, it should be pretty much the same. The length of the club should, the club technology should swing kind of you. So it's going to do what it needs to do. If you just keep the same swing kind of going, it should be very, very similar.
Joe, tell us a little about you and what you do.
911 Campus Notify is a consultative company that works with schools, higher ed, public, cities, utilities, et cetera, to secure your environment. So whether you're a campus of children or a campus of, let's say, city employees, when it comes to physical safety and physical security, that's where we step in and come at it from a modular approach, where maybe you just want to secure the building and be able to use electronic locks, or maybe you want to have more technology that is based on maybe your environment. Maybe there is a likelihood for, you know, an active shooter or a likelihood for a kid to flip out. What do you do? What do you have in place that where you can leverage technology instead of having people run around and figuring out what to do?
Great, great. Thank you. Amber joined us, Amber Clark. Hi, did you have a question for Ryan?
Well, I kind of came on to hear other questions so I can learn just from that, people who are more experienced. I feel like my first lesson is, you know what I mean? I learned a lot in there. So I'm just kind of tuning in to listen. I guess the question I could ask is, I went to, I don't know the name of the store, but it's in Seal Beach, the golf store. And I compared the club, the 8, and I asked for something similar and they gave me a 7. And I know that you said try to practice with the 8 or a 9. Should I take it back and ask for an 8 or a 9 instead to get my swing down?
I think you can work with the 7 and see what it does for you. If it is maybe a little too tough to hit, then maybe take it back. They do give 3 months to exchange. So you get full credit. You can get use that money towards anything. And I think you can exchange up to 3 times. So I would stick with it for now and then maybe bring it with you, obviously, whenever we do our next lesson, and I could take a look at it and just make sure that it's something suitable for you.
Okay.
Just to make sure you have the right tools. And
Amber, can you tell us why you got into golf or why you want to get into golf and learn it?
Yeah, I lived in Arizona. I went to Arizona State, go Devils. And if you have ever been to Arizona, the most exciting thing or the most popular thing to do is golf. And if you don't golf, then it's because you like to shop or just be out of, you know, be in the sun. So it's very popular. A lot of my colleagues golfed and I was, you know, I want to participate, but didn't know how to play. And then I have 4 children. And so I knew that golf is a way to network. And I feel like the saying, that's where all the deals are made, or on the golf course, is true. So I wanted to be able to expose that to my children. So I actually got my son in golf lessons and then I took him at the same time. And that was a while ago. It just seems like it's a fun sport to play. I enjoy it every time I'm out there.
What do you do for a profession?
I'm a school administrator. So currently I'm an assistant principal at a middle school in Huntington Park. And I also am looking to start a consultancy business with my education. So being that I was a special ed teacher, and a school administrator. I have a purview to be able to help others either get into education or help students with specific learning disabilities be able to access curriculum, that kind of thing. And then just my discipline purview allows me to support parents trying to access education for their students or for themselves.
Ryan, do you want to talk about your work with teaching young golfers?
Well, I don't have my junior camps anymore as of starting this summer, but I do work with a lot of juniors, and I have had good success with the junior camps, juniors and women, just on the fact that I have, I think, good patience for them. And most instructors seem to, the stories I hear, don't. Some of the women don't even get a call back. And after they bought, you know, five lessons, they'll take three and they can't even get a call back from their instructor. So, which is kind of upsetting. It doesn't make me look good, but that, I think that's really what it comes down to, is on top of being a decent instructor, it's, I have the patience and the want to be there. I want to be there. I love hanging out with Jill and Deb, and I can't wait to work with Amber and Jeffrey. You got a little feminism in you. So yeah.
Let me take it back to Jill. Why did you get into golf, Jill? We've known each other a while through our lessons and everything, but what's your reason and what's your reason now?
Because, well, first and foremost, just like Amber, my field, you know, the IT field is a male-dominated field. And every time there's a conference or an event that's like, oh, our free time, we're going to have this golf tournament. And I was always just standing on the sidelines. I'm like, okay, it was either that or, you know, Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders or something like that. So I was like, you know what? I'll do the golf thing and be able to hang with the boys and play. And it's true. There's a lot of discussion about business that does happen on the golf course. Plus, all of my guy friends play golf. So I always felt left out when they went off playing golf. And I'm like, well, okay, I'll just kind of hang out here. So, yeah. And it's something to master, because I understand it's, you know, at the time, it's the hardest thing to master. And I'm all about a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take it to Deborah. She has a few questions for you all.
Well, are you going to ask me how I got into golf?
Okay. Deborah?
Yep.
Deborah Armijo, tell us what you do and why did you get into golf?
Oh, well, I'm a graphic designer with iTrust Marketing, and Ellen and I have our business together. We're helping businesses market their business, different platforms, whether it's online, offline, you know, print, web, helping businesses, you know, get the word out. And I, of course, do the graphics. Ellen does all the everything else, the project management, get the sales, et cetera. Well, many years ago, my husband bought me a set of clubs for Valentine's Day. So that was my intro to golf. And
that's a ballsy move, right?
Yeah. But it was fun, and I'm glad he did it. And over the years, it was tough. I mean, golf is hard. And I didn't play as much as he did off and on. And something just hit me, because it was really frustrating. I wanted to play, you know, be able to move along. And something clicked where I just go, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. So just really went all head in and started taking the lessons and practicing. And now it's everything I like. I like being outside. I love walking. So I'm going to do this. And it's now I'm just hooked, you know, and it's a lot of help with Ryan, and Alan's always on me, showing me things every time we're, you know, at the driving range. So yeah, it's a great game, and mentally it's helped me a lot too, really doing my seal breathing. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. So, yeah, he had to really drag me out there on those first teeth. You know, I was so nervous. Now I can just get up there and start playing with the boys, the big boys. I may not hit as far, but I hit straight.
Like, Jeffrey has improved, but nobody's improved more than I've seen than Deborah over a short period of time. She is really focused on hitting the ball now. And
Deborah's putting in the work.
And what's funny, too, is like right when I feel like right when I'm getting it, like I feel like I'm really getting it now. Now it's raining and I can't practice it. It's like I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose that feeling.
So ask us some questions. Let's see if they know.
Okay. So it just in general, anybody can answer this. So, well, except you, Ryan. What does a tea time mean to you, Jill?
It's the time that I should the first person of the group should be teeing off, hitting the ball. You need to be there 15 minutes ahead of time because sometimes the schedule is not always as accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But I win.
What a round.
Round on Alan.
Got to round it. At birdies and birdies.
Okay. Next question. Does anybody know what it means to step on somebody's line?
Jeff, you know that one?
Is that where, when you're on the green putting and you get in between the ball and the hole?
Yes. You don't want to step on their line where they're going to putt. But, and why? Why don't you want to step on their line?
I mean, other than bad etiquette, I mean, it just maybe yeah. disrupts their concentration, their aim.
Yeah. I always thought too, it would change the grass or change, you know, how the ball would roll. Also.
Yes, it definitely changes that. Hello, Amber.
Yes. Oh, she's in the car.
Amber
too.
Is going this officially.
So,
okay.
Yeah. There's actually, like, I don't know if it's studies, but there's a guy that I've seen that he's rolling off, like, just like a little machine, just rolling balls through what he just walked through and actually rolls some golf balls before that, they go in the hole nice and smooth, and it shows up him stepping in that line. He rolls the balls right through the same spot, and those balls are kind of like bouncing around and coming up short. A couple of them go in, but there you could really see it affecting the way that ball is rolling, actually. So it does affect it whenever you're a really good putter and you're going, okay, to my calculations, this should do this, and then it doesn't, and you look over and you see a big old cleat mark, it can really affect your putt.
Ryan, would you say that that's the number one pet peeve of golfers who are really serious? If you're playing with a golfer and you step on their line?
I'd say that and, you know, talking in someone's backswing, especially like right when they're taking it back. Those are the two things that you could pretty much do everything else out there. You just don't want to be talking and, you know, distracting. And then stepping in someone's line is also very, it's almost like a disrespect thing also, you know, rather than just your line is messed up or you have cleat marks, you know, in the way. It's just kind of a disrespectful thing. It's like just driving on the freeway and someone just cuts you off for no reason when you have all this space behind you. Has that ever happened to anybody?
No.
So it's just very disrespectful. And that's kind of what the game is about. It's about respecting the people around you is number one, respecting the game, respecting yourself. So that's the etiquette of the game is the real reason why I love it. It's just when no one's watching, you have to call a penalty on yourself or you're supposed to. And that comes down to self-respect. You know, if you're not lying to anybody else but yourself on that one. So It's talking in someone's backswing or making noise in someone's backswing and stepping in their line are definitely the two biggest no-nos.
Okay. What else, Steph?
Okay. Why do you yell four?
Amber? I have no idea, but I would yell that just because it sounds like fun.
Four.
Ryan. I know Jill. Jill probably knows this. Jeff.
You don't know four?
Are you talking to Amber?
Anybody.
Like if Jeff?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, if your ball is maybe going off force and potentially going to hit somebody that might be on a hole next to you, or, I mean, not with me, but maybe you hit it further than expected and you're playing into the guys in front of you, basically alerting anyone else on the golf course that they might be getting hit with the ball.
Do you mean why do you yell for, or what does it mean?
Why do you yell for?
Yeah. Okay. I'm misunderstood.
Okay. Yeah, I know you know that one, Jill.
As opposed to hands out.
Yeah. It's just like saying timber. Trees coming down, they all yell timber just to like say, hey, you know, it's something's coming at you possibly. And you even want to yell for right or for left if you can. So if you're on the tee box, your ball goes right and you yell for right, and they have a general idea of where that's coming from, so they can know, okay, that's coming at me, you know? So, but yeah, four is just like timber. It's just like letting everybody know, like duck and cover. You can pretty much hit anybody you want if you yell four. It's all fair game. You hit somebody and you're like, I yelled four. And they're like, yeah, thank you. Yeah, no problem.
Have you ever been hit?
Actually, I got hit at Hartwell one time. I was on hole one, just starting, and the person was on hole nine and screamed four. And I stopped. I put my arms over my head like this, and it hit me right in my forearm. It would have hit me right in like either the chest or the face. So I walked over to that person. They thought I was really upset, but I went over to them and just thanked them like I don't know how many times for hitting me.
If they don't yell four on me, the ball's coming at me, I just put the ball in my pocket.
Yeah. If someone hits you.
I got that from Ryan. Ryan puts it on a tee. So they come up and then they see their ball is sitting on a tee in the middle of fairway on the green.
It's a casual way of letting them know, like, hey, you hit into me. Like, you don't have to scream at them or anything and just say, hey, like, I was close enough to tee your ball up. So yeah
another one.
Yeah, you can hit anyone you want,
and I have gotten hit, but not it bounced first and then it hit me. One went through the cart, hit, you know, the driving cart, went through the seat, hit me on the behind, and then one's hit me just like bounced and then hit me like on a leg, and it still had a sting to it. I don't think they yelled four. I was not happy though. But then again, Alan says I play better when I'm pissed. It really pissed me off.
Yes, he does.
I feel like all this talk about etiquette, but every Adam Sandler movie does not show that. Is it just me?
That's the whole point of those movies, is all the etiquette is out the window and it's just like everything's game.
Well, I was wondering, like, well, do you have another one, Deb?
Oh, just the last one I had was, and it can go to anybody. It's, what does ready golf mean?
Whoever's ready goes first, plays next, or goes whatever. Yeah.
Yes. If you're ready to tee off, go. If you're putting and you're close, you can finish it. It's to just keep it going quick on a public course. Anything else?
You want to expand on that, Ryan? Ready, go.
Yeah, actually, kind of what goes with that is, I would say, I think this one's for Jeff, just because he's kind of the the new guy, and I'm not going to pick on Amber right now. Who goes first after everybody tees off? So you tee off on hole one and everybody's all over the place. And who goes first after that?
Person with the low score?
No.
Who goes on the second shot, right?
Are you
trying to be everybody tees off? You're all, let's say everybody's in the fairway. Everybody hit good shots.
Okay. The furthest one back.
There you go.
Yeah, I thought you meant on the next tee.
Yeah. And it's the person who shoots the lowest score on that hole. Mm-hmm. So let's say Jeff birdies hole one and everybody else pars it because we're all great golfers. And on the next tee, it should be Jeff going first. Now, if it's like Jeff gets a par and everybody gets bogey, there's kind of like the golf gods on this one. So it's kind of the golf gods are bigger than the real god, I feel like sometimes. Even he has to like answer to them. So it's you, if you somebody birdies hole one and then you're going to hole two, the etiquette is, okay, we're not going in front of a birdie. Birdie's going first. Now, if the person who got the birdie says, I'm not ready yet, so I'm going to go, then it's anybody can go. But you have to hear it from him. And sometimes what we'll do is we'll birdie a hole and someone else will run up to the tee box because they're playing ready golf and they'll tee off and they'll almost always hit a bad shot because they went in front of a birdie. So kind of the golf gods letting you know, like, hey, like back up, you gotta get the okay. So we'll let that person hit. They hit a bad shot and we go, wow, you just went in front of a birdie. Like, what are you doing? So yeah, but if it's a par or worse, it's just like anybody goes. But if, you know, somebody gets a birdie, it's kind of special. So you just let that person go and yeah, they're in a groove. You let them stay in a groove.
I did not know that. That's a good one, but nobody's hitting birdies around me.
That's a challenge, Alan.
Yeah.
I could go to Hartwell and still not hit a birdie. Come on. So why don't you explain? I have a question. I'm Alan Armijo. I trust marketing, Power Partners USA, PP USA Golf. Our business introduction service is growing. We provide introductions to professionals to generate repeat referral business for those professionals. We don't meet. We use our technology and podcasts to promote people and special events to introduce them in person. And I use golf primarily for networking. I love to golf, but I actually prefer more to do golf for business, you know, whether I'm getting business on the golf course by chance because I got set up with somebody who needs one of our services, or playing with clients or playing with associates. It's always fun to get out there and network that way. But my question for Ryan is, how do you explain, or how do you, especially if you're keeping your own score, you're trying to shoot a low score, and somebody says that you hit a putt and it's close to the hole and they say it's a gimme. Like, what is a gimme to you when you're scoring for real?
If you're playing against somebody and you're 10 feet out and they say that's a gimme because you're playing against them. You're not playing against the course. You're not playing against yourself. If let's say you're just out there playing with three other people and you're 3 feet away and someone says, oh, that's a gimme, go ahead and take it. It's up to you really. If you want to make that putt and you go, no, I got to work on these putts. I would like to make this. It's not, you know, a foot away is a little different, but if it's a little bit out there where you could miss it and you want to take it. If you don't, it's really up to you on your game and what level you're at. I play with some pretty good golfers. So if we're, I mean, if I'm within 3 feet, they're usually going to give it to me like 2.5, 3 feet. We don't miss a lot of putts from that range, but it's really up to you. But if you're playing against somebody and you're 100 yards out and they say, that's good, take it up.
Well, that's good. Say what happens now, if you hit a ball 2 feet away and they say it's good, it's a gimme, and you hit it anyway and you miss, is it still considered good or is it a miss?
If you're playing against somebody that is, it's good. No matter what, if you're playing against somebody for any reason, once they give it to you, if you miss, it's still good. But once again, you kind of make up your own rules for yourself when you're playing with yourself. So somebody says, that's good. And you say to yourself, no, I need to make these, and you miss it. That's a miss, you know? Mm-hmm. So you can't let someone else dictate your game when you're playing the course or yourself, just because someone says, oh, that's good. Like usually the better etiquette is, if you're going to give someone a putt that you're not playing against, you say, hey, I would give that to you. You want it? And you ask them if they want it. So, and then more than likely, they're going to say, yeah, I'll take that. So.
Like somebody you don't know, like they set you up with somebody and they're actually a pretty good golfer. Like I tend to stay out of it. Like let them decide on their own, but you can still give it to them, right? Or is it awkward?
You could kind of, it's kind of like you tell them, you know, that's good by me. You want it back, you know, and then they'll make the determination. No, I want to putt it, or, oh, okay. Yeah. Hit that back to me. So it's kind of weird, but you don't really have anything to do with their game, but you do. So it's like, you're just being nice saying, hey, you know, I seen you make putts today and this is good if you want it. And so sometimes I get people, they go, no, I need to make this putt. And I totally respect it. If they're missing those putts, they want to work on it. They want the pressure. They want to make sure they're playing the game the way they want to play. So there's a million ways to play this game. And some people like to play it by the letter of the law. Some people are just willy-nilly, like me and my friends. We're pretty willy-nilly. Like we could be, like I said, 3-4 feet out. They know I'm not going to miss a putt. They're just like, yeah, just take it. I'm like, cool.
I'll make you do that putt.
Yeah, Jeff.
What does Jeff say?
That's far.
What's why? Why would someone do that?
Why would someone give you the putt?
Yeah.
A poor footer.
Well, that's actually a really good question. When I play my buddies, I'm usually playing against them.
Yeah.
So when they give me a putt, it's like, it's done. So that it's as soon as you're playing against somebody and someone says, that's good, it's good. Now, sometimes you don't want that person making those 3 to 5 foot putts and getting in a groove. And then at the end of the last 2 or 3 holes, they might have one and you go, no, I want to see that putt.
Oh.
So, and then they're not, you know, they're not in a groove. They don't have anything going. And it's like, they might have a better chance of missing that putt at the end when it really counts. And you go, no, I want to see this 2 foot putt here. Okay. It's downhill. It's a slider.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a head game. And you'll see that if you watch like the Ryder Cup, stuff like that. But we really mess with each other out there and we'll say, you know, like, no, I want to see that one.
That's awesome.
Interesting.
So you might give them to them in the beginning, you know, or in the middle of the match. And then towards the end, you're like, no, I want to see that.
Let's see here. Ryan, why don't you tell us a little bit about Ryan Cooley Golf Academy?
Been in the area for 14 years, right here at Little Rec. I love it there. I'm the only golf instructor I know that teaches only on grass. No range whatsoever. And it's been going pretty smooth. I get much better results off the grass. And it transitions into their game a lot better. But yeah, it's business has been pretty good. It took, I don't know, 8 years to build it up, but the last 6 years have been pretty good. Word of mouth is doing well. And yeah, I don't have to do much advertising anymore. So,
well, we've been around the horn. Does anybody have any questions for Ryan or anybody else?
Well, just where Ryan, the lessons on the course they're so different from having lessons on the driving range. They don't even compare. Night and day. It really makes you feel like you're golfing, like you're in that situation of golf, because you can be at the driving range all you want, hit it. When you take it and, you know, transfer it to the golf or the golf course, it's, you know, sometimes I'll be like, oh no, I don't know what to do. It's like I freeze, but then, you know, I loosen up, but it's night and day, and it's really fun. It's really makes a big difference. And we've had other instructors over the years, way back, but Ryan really can he can fix something and adjust it and explain it really simple and not be too technical about it. Makes it fun.
I agree. Same. I agree too.
I agree too.
Don't get a big head, Ryan.
Jeff, what the hell?
Well, thank God, man. I've already told you that many times.
What I've noticed since I can get through the course much better, and being a woman, like when I first, like men don't tell me how to do things anymore. Ryan, Alan can tell me I'm fine with it, but these men, when I first started, they were always trying to give me, you know, instructions, and I don't get that anymore.
You don't like that. You hate that when they do that, right?
Oh yeah. It's like, don't, yeah.
Well, men know everything though, right?
Yeah.
That's about golf. It's like,
I've noticed it over the past few years. They're kind of like, oh, I better warm up here.
Yeah, they're just teaching you the thing they saw on the Golf Channel last week.
Yeah.
And it's so bad.
I mean, how do you feel, Jill, like when you're on the range and somebody next to you tries to offer you advice? What's your take on, or what's your feeling when you get that advice, or do you want it, you know?
It would be a colorful response. So I can't really say. No, I get, sometimes I'll get someone that'll make a comment when I'm on the range and I'm just getting started and it's all wonky, and I'll get a, well, can I, and I'll just kind of glare at them and then I go away. But you know, it is true. Certain golfers have a tendency to, oh, let me help this little girl out, or one of the cases. I just kind of give them a look and keep going.
A damsel in distress, right?
Right. That's, it's funny. Like, oh, do tell me. Yeah, no.
My favorite is when, and this happened to me with Deborah, is like, okay, you got to do this, or like, you're not doing that. And then I go, let me show you. And I do it, and I just totally shank it. Right? And it happened all the time. And I've seen other guys do it and teach us, you know, women especially. And they shank it, and the first thing they do is they look at their club, like, well, this club has got moved stuff.
Yeah, what?
It's the club did that.
Yeah.
I got
one more. There she goes. Yeah. Do you know what a handicap is, Amber?
I feel like I do. Isn't that, okay, let me think. I know that it, okay, a handicap. I want to say that it, a golfer already knows, like, maybe a weakness that they have, or it's not their strength, but I don't know if that's right. I feel like it's something more positive, or like, you know, a good thing, but I can't remember.
It would be, or actually, Jill. Jill, do you know?
Not really, because I'll flub it up as I try to explain it. I know it is a handicap is a good thing. So if someone says, I have a blah, blah, blah handicap, you know, in golf speak, it's like, ooh, you know, it's like somebody saying, yeah. I run a 100 meter in blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was too.
So a handicap is what your average is over on a golf course. So if a golf course is a par 72, which typically, I would say, I don't know, 80 to 90% of golf courses or 18 hole courses are going to be par 72.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the average that you shoot over. So if you're a 10 handicap, that means on average you shoot an 82.
Well, okay.
So if you say you're a 10 handicap, it lets them know, okay, on average I shoot 82. And so what's nice about having a handicap, that the handicap in golf is probably the most true rather than any other sport with like pool or bowling or tennis. So if Jeff's a 10 handicap and Jill's a 5 handicap, that means she typically shoots 5 strokes better than Jeff. And if they wanted, yes. And if they wanted to play a match, Jill would have to give Jeff 5 strokes right off the bat. So now the playing field is even and they're playing. Yeah, it's really competitive that way. That means Jill, even though she's better, she would have to really work to still beat Jeff. So a handicap is, it makes it really fun. So a really good golfer can play a really bad golfer and you can play for $5 or $10 or just bragging rights or whatever it is. But that person, that really good golfer is going to have to work their butt off to really beat that, I guess, bad golfer. And
well, that's cool.
It just evens the playing field like perfectly.
Do they do that in the, like the women's groups and men's groups, because they all have handicaps to be in those groups, right? I mean, you have to have a handicap to be like in the women's golf group, you know, like at Little Rick, they have a couple of them. Do they?
Yeah, they're, go ahead.
No, do they do that? What you said, they, if their handicap is different, they give you extra strokes or, you know, things like.
Yeah, they're going to. Let's say in the women's club, if someone's a 9, someone's a 2, yeah, they're going to give you those strokes and they'll have a net and a gross. So if somebody just is really good, they deserve to be rewarded for that, even if they get beat by someone with a high handicap, because they put in a lot of work over the years to get to that position. But so they'll have a net and a gross. So one that works with their handicap and then one that's straight up. They'll usually do that. So yeah. And then the trick question is, does anybody know what a plus handicap is?
I know.
This is something almost only 1% of golfers know. So this is some inside knowledge.
Yes.
Well, I wasn't going to get going, but now you got me.
So a plus handicap means you are shooting under par. So
okay.
I am a plus 2 handicap. So whenever I play a golf course, on average, I'm shooting minus 2. I'm shooting 2 under. So I get, if I'm a plus 2 and Jeff's a 10, I got to give him 12 strokes. So yeah, a plus handicap, a lot of people, you know, someone says, oh, I'm a plus 1 handicap, and people think, oh, you're a 1 handicap. It's like, no, they're 2 strokes better than that, which those 2 strokes, when you get down to that level, are pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for coming online.
Good to see you guys.
We are, you know, we've covered everything in this hour. I want to thank everybody for joining us, and we'll have to do this again. I know where you